title of our message today is Worthy of the Calling, a New Year's Commitment. Quick question. Raise your hand. Anybody ever met anybody famous before? Whether football player, movie star, singer, you know. If anybody's met my dad, there's Kevin Bacon, so you've met him. But you know, I mean, let's be real. We should, even when you meet someone famous, sometimes you get a little starstruck. I know I have. You know, you meet somebody like, oh, wow, that's kind of cool. And if anybody ever remembers or seen the movie Wayne's World from back in the early 90s, there's that funny scene where Wayne and Garth meet Alice Cooper. And it's a really funny scene. And Alice Cooper's like, no, you guys should come in and hang out with us. And they're like, and then they drop to their knees and they're like, we're not worthy. And he's just like holding out his hand. Kind of funny scene. You know, we can feel sometimes not worthy in front of just human celebrities, but you know, they're just as human as we are. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the truth of the matter is we're not worthy ultimately. We're not worthy of his love, his grace, and his mercy. But that's not where it ends. The good news is that praise God by his grace and his mercy and his love. Even though he had no obligation to save us, he didn't have to go to the cross. He decided he was going to save us. He was going to love us. And he calls us to be a part of his eternal kingdom. Isn't that good news, church? Isn't that good news? Amen. That is something we have. Listen, Pastor Jim said, you know, Pastor Jim, I got to be honest. I never really heard this phrase until you started saying it years ago at our church, but our best days are ahead with Jesus. And my goodness, how true that statement is. That has been such a huge impact, that statement in my life, Pastor Jim, since you started making it. And I use it a lot in my daily life when I talk to people because it is so true. Your best days, if you follow Jesus Christ, you love him, you're surrendered to him today, no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it gets here, our best days are always ahead with Christ every single day. We have something to look forward to. And you know what? While we're here, and this is what I want to say to you this morning, God wants to use you. Don't ever believe the lies from the enemy that God doesn't want to use you. That is just not true. Because listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, did you know that you're an ambassador for Jesus? Did you know that you're a representative of Christ? It says it. It says it clear in the scriptures. And it's funny, you might not think about it because, you know, the United States, here's a clear example. The United States sends ambassadors to different nations to represent the United States. And if that ambassador does well, it makes the U.S. look good. If they do bad on their trip, it doesn't make the U.S. look good. Same thing with us. Listen, church, we are the only Jesus the people, your friends, your family, your coworkers, the world, we're the only Jesus they're going to see. And if we do not represent Jesus rightly, it gives Jesus a bad name. Even though God is good regardless of what we do, but it will give Jesus a bad name. And Paul in Ephesians, you can actually turn there. Yeah, you can actually turn there. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, 4 verses 1 through 7. Paul talks about living the life worthy of our calling. And what does that mean exactly? Living the life worthy of our calling. It simply means this, to not take the calling of God for granted. Listen, the calling of God is not something you fit into your life. Jesus is not something you fit into your life. He is your life. He should be your life. If he's not, we got to talk. He should be our life. His calling should compel us, should permeate every area of our lives. And listen, when we talk about calling, I need to clarify this real quick. When we talk about calling, don't just look at me and Pastor Jim. A lot of people confuse calling to pastoring, missionaries, that kind of work. No. Listen, people are called to be an electrician. Ron's not here, but Ron, he's an electrician. He's a good electrician. That's his calling. People are called to all different types of jobs, of different ministries, cleaning is a ministry. Some people are called to clean. My mother, she loves to clean. I'm not busting on you, Mom. You do. You love to clean. I've inherited that from her. Ask my wife. I'll go into cleaning spurts. And it's like crazy. Like dust, don't even show your face near me. But anyway, seriously, cleaning can be a ministry. I'm not joking. I'm just trying to say there's different callings we have in our life. And whatever that calling is, we need to live a life worthy of whatever calling God has for us. So let us pray, and then we're going to read this passage. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have this morning to read it, that we don't have to worry about being arrested for reading the word of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will speak to us. Just use me as your vessel, God. I just want to share your word right. Help me this morning to do so and open our hearts and minds to the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at Ephesians 4. Paul says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And I forgot to mention, if you're following along, we have this obviously in our bulletins and on the YouVersion app. I feel like I've made it. I've got something on the YouVersion app that I wrote. Well, I wrote, it's God's word, but you can use the YouVersion app today. But going in this, when I was reading this passage, it just kind of spilled out to me that like this, these verses right here were an outline of Paul talking about living this life that we're, he begs us right in the beginning, live this life worthy of your calling. And he gets right into it. Why is that? Because God has called you. I just said it before. Listen, the calling of God. You might not think that the job or what you do is that special, but God has given that to you. Whatever it is. And God has called us to so many different things in this life every day. And listen, whatever that is, God has called you. We should not take it lightly, church. We need to go forward seeking Jesus with all our mights as representatives of Jesus. And listen, as a whole, there is a calling as believers generally that we all share. God has called us to worship and serve him. We are all called to do that every day. We are to seek him, reading his word. The Bible should not be read just at church. Shouldn't be read just once a month. Man, I'm talking, we need to read it a lot. I would tell you daily, if not daily, at least 4 or 5 times a week. I'm serious. We need to worship and serve him every day. We're called to make disciples. Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. Share the love of Jesus. Every day, well, look for opportunities wherever you can with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever comes on. We're called. This is not an option. Make disciples. And we're finally called in general to build the church, to build the church up, to help make it healthy and strong. These are not options for the follower of Christ because once again, if you're a follower of Jesus, he's boss. He's king. He's Lord. And if we're like, I don't want to do this stuff, unless we all make mistakes. I'm not talking about making mistakes because we all do it. Man, I make too many mistakes, unfortunately. But no, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking willful rebellion, just saying like, no, God, I don't agree with you and I'm not doing this. I'm not going there. No, there's a problem because God, Jesus is and should be our Lord and our Savior. And listen, as a quick note, I just want to say, as believers, really, we should take time, aside from our daily devotions, just maybe once a month or however often, but we need to have priority checks. We need to have special times alone with Jesus, close the door, shut the cell phones off, and ask God a simple question. God, are my priorities right? Analyze your actions. Analyze the things you plan, the things you do. Are my priorities right? From time to time, we need to do that to make sure that we're keeping the main thing, which is Jesus. So let's dig into this verse. Paul talks about living the life because God has called us. And the first thing he gets right into, and you can follow along with your blanks, is be humble with gentleness. Be humble with gentleness. Listen, true humility is simply this. You ready? True humility is knowing who you are and knowing who God is. Knowing who you are and knowing who God is. Listen, I love God. Look at this. Galatians 6:3. I love this verse. I love this verse. It's funny. Galatians 6:3. Paul says, if you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I love that verse. Love that verse. But he's right. He's right. How many people out there just think like, well, I got too much time on my hands or blah, 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 you know, or people, you know, people that are just that think they're too important. No, Paul's like, you're not that important. And listen, so the humility is coming down from being proud, but it's also, don't think that humility is thinking low of yourself. Don't think that you have to have a low opinion of yourself, because look at what Jesus says in Matthew 22:39. Love your neighbor, as yourself. We always miss the last two words, as yourself. Listen, you cannot properly help and love other people if you don't love yourself. Listen, church, I want to clarify. There's a difference between loving yourself the way God loves you than being conceited, arrogant, self-centered, all of that. There's a difference. Listen, God loves you. He died for you. It's not a sin to love and care for yourself. No, you should, because God loves you, and he has blessed you and wants to spend eternity with you. There's a difference between conceit and all that. So no, humility is simply knowing who you are. We're finite human being, limited, that yes, we're sinners, and God is almighty and powerful, and we rely on him. That's really what humility is. Humility involves caring for people and helping them out, as Paul pointed out in Galatians 6:3. And listen, you want an application right away? Here's an application. We should be praying daily, God, just show me who I can help. Sometimes it's hard. I'll be honest. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. I see our church. I see all people out there. I'm like, and there's so many people that need money or need, but like, oh my gosh, who do I give to? Calm down. Simple prayer. God, who do you want me to help? Simple prayer every day. And you know what? I'm just going to warn you. When you pray that, God's going to answer, and he's going to show you. God does not expect you to help everybody. It's just impossible. I mean, well, with God, nothing, but you know what I mean. In general, there are certain people God does want us to help. But humility just involves helping people. And while we're helping people, we show gentleness. This is helping to live that life, to draw people in. Listen, the last time I spoke, which was months ago, I talked in the political climate of our country where people were just bickering, angry with one another on Facebook, social media, text message, all this kind of stuff. Listen, for the church, man, we need to show gentleness, kindness, love. Check out Titus 3:2 right here. Paul is talking about the church in general. He's talking just the letters to Titus in general, but he's talking about the church. He said, they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. And he talks about showing gentleness and humility. Man, I'm just going to raise my hand because, look, I'd be lying if I said I never did this. I'm guilty. How many times do we rush out to talk about other people as human beings? We're just so tempted to. We're mad at other people. Maybe they've hurt us, or we see somebody do this, and, man, we just want to go tell X, Y, and Z about it. How quick we are. Guilty. I'd be lying if I said I never did that. How quick we are to ride out like a soldier with a sword in hand and ready to pounce on someone with our words. Been there. Done that. And I need to clarify, I'm not saying that there aren't times where people need a stern talking to. No, of course there are. There are times. Jesus got mad and was rough with people at times. We see that. There are times, but in general, Paul's saying, no, we need to take a step back. Listen, the church, it just can't be this way. Gentleness needs to be our heart. It needs to be what we grasp for. And when I talk about gentleness, I just laid out a few applications, things that like you could do. When you show gentleness, like, here's an example. If you see a believer in the church and you see someone erring in some way, either committing a sin or just doing something that's clearly just not in the right, in love, just go to that person and just say, hey, listen, I just want to talk to you. Let me just say, I think you're kind of going down a wrong path here. Don't make them feel bad. Don't pounce on them, judge them, make them think like they're the worst Christian. No, just in love, just show them and correct them, guide them back. Remember, in the Proverbs, I always hate quoting scripture when I don't know the exact scripture, but in the Proverbs, it says that a gentle answer can sway a king's wrath. Gentle answer, gently correcting believers. How do we show gentleness? Well, let's say you do have a direct problem with someone. When you have a direct problem with someone, in love, if you need to take a step back, do so, but go to the person. Don't go to half the church. Talk. Don't go to half your family. Go to the person. And listen, if things are getting, maybe you go to the person, things are a little rough, be the bigger person and say, you know what, maybe we need to talk later. We'll talk later. Be the bigger person. You show gentleness by being a person that people know they can come to. You want gentleness to exuberate over your life? Be that person that if people, maybe someone knows they've messed up or they just need some wisdom, be that person that people can say, yeah, I know I can go to them and talk to them. They're not going to just judge me. They're going to talk to me, and I can go to them. They still love me despite, you know what I mean? Be that person. Because listen, church, we're talking about living the life worthy of a calling. Humility and gentleness, if we can apply them, if we get those into our heart, that's going to help with the next one and lead to patience with forgiveness. Paul says, be patient with one another, with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Church, there's a real devil. Hollywood, it's so funny. Hollywood loves to glorify demons and all that kind of stuff. There's billions of horror films and other things where demons are a part of it. God rarely comes into the picture. It's kind of funny in those films. But there is a real devil, one we shouldn't mess with, and one, as the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter, that wants to tear us apart. He wants to tear us apart. He wants to tear your family apart. And he wants to tear this church apart and all churches who love Jesus. He wants to use bitterness. These are his weapons. Bitterness, rage, vengeance. There's others, but this is what we're focusing on, man. Bitterness, rage, and vengeance can tear families and churches apart, and unfortunately they have. Now listen, I'm going to give you guys a couple truths. They're not great truths. They're not happy truths, but they are truths, unfortunately. And it's something that we need to face up to as we continue to go to church and seek Jesus out. But truth number one is simply that most likely you're probably going to be hurt or offended by someone in church over time. Why? Because we're imperfect people. And even people that love Jesus make mistakes or say things they shouldn't from time to time. Listen, if you're looking for that church where no one makes mistakes, good luck. Let me know if you find it too, because I don't know of anyone that exists, and I'm going to tell you, you're probably not going to find it. But we're just imperfect people when we all make mistakes. We should be striving towards perfection in Christ, but we still make mistakes, and someone's probably going to hurt you along the way, and that's tough. The second truth, and we're going to deal with both of these. The second truth is maybe someone doesn't hurt you, but you see someone messing up, or maybe like you give advice for something, right? And maybe your idea doesn't go through, and maybe you're really passionate about your idea, like, oh man, I really feel like this is the way to go. And the question is, in both of these truths, how do we deal with this? Do we get mad? Do we rage out? Do we spread rumors around the church? Do we pray that God strikes the church leadership down with lightning? Please don't ever pray that. Please don't ever pray that. We're patient with one another, church. We're patient. Listen, when you are hurt, even whether it's over something that someone said to you or because maybe an idea didn't go through, whatever it is, the goal should always be reconciliation with peace. Forgiveness. It needs to be. It's the heartbeat of God. I don't think I have this up there, but Matthew 6:15 off the top of my head, just for record, you want to know how serious forgiveness is to God? This is no joke. Jesus says, if you do not forgive someone, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Because how dare we as human, God did not have to give us no obligation. He is the righteous judge. He could strike us down if he wants to, and he's absolutely in the right, but he didn't. And God's like, how dare you when I did not have to do that? How dare you as a human being not forgive? Now, we need to clarify forgiveness. Forgiveness is not taking someone you don't get along with to Disney World. It's not taking someone who hurts you or your family. It's not buying them a birthday cake every year. No. Forgiveness is releasing the right to vengeance into the hands of Almighty God. It means to love your enemies in a way that if you cross paths with your enemy, you don't treat them bad. You know what I mean? You don't like spit at them or give them a dirty look. No, you can say hello or whatever, but love your enemies in that way and just release vengeance into God's hand. And that's hard. Let me tell you, I'm a human being just like you. People have hurt me, believe me. I've had thoughts. Not going to share them with you. But yeah, listen, we need to seek forgiveness. Listen, here's the deal. If someone's hurt you, whether you're hurt over an idea, whether someone said something, I said this already, but talk to the person. I don't have time to read the whole passage, but read Matthew 22. Jesus lays out the guidelines for correcting believers in the church. And it's very simple. He says, go to the person first yourself. Not talk to 15 other people. No, go to the person yourself. Talk to them. If you can't work it out, go to a wise believer. Take them with you. Talk to them. If there's still really a big issue, then you go to the church itself. You go to the church leadership. And listen, if someone's hurt you or there's something going on, the one thing I would suggest, if you want wisdom, I don't see any problem with going to someone in the church leadership, Pastor Jim, myself, one of our deacons, and just asking wisdom. Just asking wisdom for a situation. You know what I mean? That's not gossip. That's someone from a heart that's saying, this happened. I don't know. What do you think I should? You know what I mean? That's not gossip. You're trying to find the right situation for it. But we need forgiveness. And listen, I want to clarify this too. If you've been hurt by someone, whether this church, somewhere else, I'm not downplaying your feelings. Please understand that. Your feelings are real. When we're hurt, it stinks. all I'm saying is there's just a right and a wrong way to proceed with those type of things. That's all I'm getting at. Please don't misunderstand me. Your feelings are very, very important. Because listen, here's the bottom line with this. If we don't seek patience with forgiveness, churches have been divided and churches have literally been destroyed. Families have been destroyed. Come on, church. We need, and I'm not saying that we have that problem here, but I'm warning us ahead of time because listen, here's the thing. If we get the hearts of humility, we care for people, we're gentle, we seek patience with believers and we forgive, then finally we come to unity in the Spirit. Paul says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Jesus said this. He says that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And now listen, if a church is divided, let me tell you, churches have literally closed over divisions. But even if a church doesn't close, here's what happens when a church is divided. Progress is slowed. And I want to point something out to you, church, this morning. And like I said, not saying this is a problem here, not saying it at all. But once again, warnings for us for the future. When a church is divided, progress is slowed. And what progress is slowed? The progress of reaching the community. The progress of rightly setting an example to our unsaved loved ones. And I want to put this thought in your mind, because I'll bet, listen, not a gambling man or anything like this, but I would bet in all of history that there have been people who have missed out. Maybe we're not properly showed Jesus, who missed out on hearing the gospel because churches were bickering and progress was slowed. And maybe some people didn't even get into heaven because they just were given a bad representation of Jesus or never got really shared the gospel because churches were bickering and divided and progress was slowed. Church, let that not be us. Let that not be us. No, 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 no. Listen, our unity has to come from the Holy Spirit. How can we be unified in the Spirit? Well, it's got to start with you individually. I mentioned this earlier. You need to be seeking Jesus every day. God, as a believer, has given you the Holy Spirit, His power. You need to be seeking, praying for the power of the Spirit to overcome sin, to reach out to your loved ones. But the power of the Holy Spirit, when all of us are seeking and worshiping God daily, then when we come together as the body, we are united under the power of that Holy Spirit, and we are seeking the same thing together. And church, that is what we need to be doing. We need to be praying and worshiping. And I'm telling you, the more that you seek the Holy Spirit, the passionate you are for God. You might be saying this morning, man, I'm just not that passionate for God, Pastor Bob. I got the solution. Every day, even if you don't feel like it, more, I don't care what day is good for you. Get on your knees or whatever, just have a pace, whatever you want to do, but seek the Holy Spirit. Shut the door, whatever place you can find in your apartment, home, whatever, and seek the power of the Holy Spirit, because I'm guaranteeing you, I'm not just saying, I'm guaranteeing you, you do that every day, the passion will come as the Holy Spirit continues to flood in there. The passion will come and you will come to church and you'll be ready. You'll be ready. Sorry. Wow. You think I was going to Disney World or something afterwards, but sorry. Anyway, but the Lord is good. And listen, here's the other thing. You want to know what divides churches too? I'm going to tell you what divides churches. When we stop making Jesus the main thing. I don't have the passage here, but I was reading it in my devotions yesterday. I actually posted it with my Facebook first. Colossians 2, Paul talks a lot about this. Stop going after silly doctrines that have nothing to do with anything. That's basically paraphrase what he says. People will pull a verse from here and a verse from here and get in debates and just like make whole doctrines and just be so obsessed with this doctrine, which you can't really even prove. You take one sentence from somewhere and you make a whole thing out of it. Stop! Sorry. I'm okay. Did I get some water? Got some water. Water. Yeah, water's good. Water's good. Yeah. Listen, I love people. And people's hearts, I think people's hearts are in the right place. But no, seriously. And listen, if you get, and I've been in talks with people about this, but here's what you say to people that are on this. Just say to them, listen, the Bible doesn't really say here or two really about this, but keep your focus on Jesus. Tell the person that. Keep the main thing. Focus on the mission of every Christian. That's what you tell the people. Focus on the mission of the church. Don't get crossed into, did Jesus have blonde hair or whatever? You know what I mean? We just don't know. Anyway, sorry. But when we stop making, here's what happens too. And I've been a Christian 20 years this year, but I've met people that like that are power hungry. And they feel that they've had this calling of God. And I'm not saying that they necessarily don't, but they go about it the wrong way. And they feel that, no, because I have this calling, pastor, you should, you know, you should listen to me and do X, Y, and Z. But that's not Jesus. You know what that is? That's their own pride. Just saying. You know, hey, well. But why is unity so key? Let me tell you this. Paul talks about this. He talks about unity. And look, verse 4. For there's one body and one spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. He says, why should you be unified? Well, first of all, there's one church. There's not multiple churches I know. There's been different denominations. But no, Jesus looks through the lens of who is surrendered to me. He doesn't care if you're Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, or Baptist, or Methodist. He doesn't care. He wants to know, are you surrendered to him? There's one body, one church. There's one Holy Spirit. There's not a billion of them. There's one Holy Spirit. There's one hope that we have. I talked about it in the beginning, the glorious hope. Jesus is coming back. One thing we should be hoping for. Verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and all living through all. There's one Lord and one God. There's not multiple gods. Real quick, little trivia for you. Did you know that Jesus asked the question in another way, but he asked the question, is there another way to God besides the cross? Did you know he asked that? Yeah, he did. Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it is possible, please take this cup from me. He was asking the question that everybody asked today. Is there another way besides Jesus? Jesus was asking that question. And the Father was saying no, because the Father is saying it would be unjust of me to just forgive sin. I can't just forgive sin. That's not justice. That's not justice. Eternal punishment has to be made, and only you, a perfect human being, can make that sacrifice for them. That's the only way. It's a great question, but yeah, no, there's only one faith, one Lord, one Father, one God. That's why unity is, you've seen a theme here in Paul's theme, there's oneness. What the Trinity, 3 in 1, 1 in 3. There's unity in the Godhead. There's unity in what God is bringing forth. So how can we as the church not be unified? How do we maintain this unity? The Holy Spirit and peace. And how do we maintain peace? I'll tell you right, real quick. You might have heard me mention this. Gentleness. Humility. Patience with each other. Forgiveness. You want peace? Those are the ingredients. And when we are unified, we can make the best use. Oh, I had that verse up there on the board. Sorry about that. We can make the best use. Use your gifts. However, he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, I just do not have time today to go through all the gifts. There's three passages. There, after this, there's a passage about gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and then there's a passage in Romans about the gifts God gives. I don't have time to get into all of it. But what I want you to understand is that you, all of you, yes, all of you in this room today, and every human being on the planet, God has given a special gift to. What is the purpose of these gifts? Well, check it out. Ephesians 4:12. The responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. If you have a gift, it's to build the church up, strengthen the church. 1 Corinthians 12:7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. There's no complication behind the gifts of the church. It's to help the church, to help one another, to build each other up so that we can be strong and united, to be there for one another. Remember the third part of our general calling, building the church up? This is what the gifts are for. Worshiping the church as a body of Christ, fulfilling the roles we have. Now, you might be asking yourself, Pastor, I don't really know exactly what my gift is. And that's okay. Listen, there are ways to find out your gifts. But let me tell you just real quick, how do you figure out and what do you do about finding your role and your gift in the church? Well, the first thing is surrendering to Jesus and saying, look, okay, God, this is what you want. I'm going to figure out. Talk to the church leadership, Pastor Jim, myself, leaders of the different ministries, or the deacons, and find out what opportunities are available. Where does the church need help at? Now, you might not know your gifts yet, but that's how you find out. Listen, do you know how I found out my giftings in the church? Because I just, his name is Pastor Sabella, and you guys, some of you may have met him at Malaga Assembly. I just began asking, you know, when I was a young Christian, where you need help? What do I do? And I just began getting involved. Pastor Jim early on asked me to help with youth ministry, and then I was involved with the kids ministry back then, still am today. But you know, I was just trying to find things out. That's how. It's okay if you don't know, but the process has got to start. Listen, we have so many different ministries. We've got the worship team. We've got the children's ministries. We've got the cleaning team. Believe it or not, there's a ministry out of cleaning toilets. Just saying. There's the cafe we need help at. Vacuuming this place, keeping the place, the outside looking nice. PowerPoint ministry, sound ministry. I'm missing other things. But the point is, there is something for everyone. Listen, I'm going to compliment your husband, Ron. He just helped with the electricity all the time, and he's good at it. Ron's gift is electric work, and he does it well. You know what I mean? So listen, and here's the other thing. How can you figure out your gift? Well, maybe ask yourself, what are you passionate about? And you might say to yourself, well, what I'm passionate about, it can't really help the church. We don't know that. You don't know that. Talk to us about what you're passionate about. And maybe there's a ministry that doesn't even exist yet that the thing you're passionate about could be used here. So don't ever think that the thing that you're passionate about, well, they don't have anything like that here, so we can't use it. Nonsense. It's very possible God has given you those passions, those desires. Don't ever think that you cannot be used. Those, you have gifts. And listen, here's the thing. So look at my body first. I just need to clarify. So when I say look at my body, I'm saying, look, I got two arms, two legs. Okay. I wasn't being conceited, seriously. No, I'm trying to make an example. Oh gosh, I'm going to hear about that one for weeks. One of the few times I wasn't being goofy and I was, two arms, I got five fingers, my eyes, I can hear. And I thank the Lord for all that. But seriously, I feel so sorry for people that don't have an arm, don't have a leg, or can't use their legs at all, or can't see. People that are disabled, my heart goes out to. But what I'm getting at is that when you're missing a part of your body, why do we call people like that disabled? It's not because we're trying to put a name on it. It's because their body isn't fully functional. And it's harder for them. So what I'm getting at, why do you think God calls his church the body of Christ? Because he's using the illustration of a body to say that, listen, if you are not doing your part, then the church suffers. It does. Now listen, and let me just throw this out. This just came to my mind. It could be the Holy Spirit. Sometimes your giftings can just be talking to people and being an encouraging ear, being a friend to people. But listen, I'm going to tell you what. You need to be here. And what I'm saying is I don't mean just coming on Sunday mornings. We need to be here as much as humanly possible. And I'm talking as much as humanly possible. And listen, I say this to all people. I feel bad. I understand. If you have to work, I understand that. Of course I understand that. If you got to work Sunday morning, I don't expect you to quit your job. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, as much as you can, you got to try and get to church. But here's what I want to say. But don't leave right afterwards. Stick around. Talk with people. Because you never know what you'll hear. Stick around and talk with people. I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. I understand things. But you never learn anything. What I mean, let me clarify. But you never know what opportunities are out there if you just run out the door. I'm just saying, you never know. And here's the final thing about the gifts. Don't let fear of not knowing stop you from seeking. You might think like, well, I just don't know. Okay, I didn't know either. I'm just saying to you guys, I understand. I do. I didn't know either at one time. And I was scared. I really was. But don't let that stop you. In closing, each year, this is why I love preaching these sermons every year, because I always have the New Year's focus. Each year, we should be striving to love Jesus more and more. Let's strive for the unity of the church. And I'm not saying we're divided. I feel like I love our church. Our church is strong. I love our church. But I'm saying let's continue to strive for the unity of the church so we, together and as a body, can live the life worthy of our calling. Let us be bound by peace and the Holy Spirit. Let that unity, we must let our unity go strong through humbleness, gentleness, patience, learning to forgive one another. And I know that's hard. I'm not downplaying it. It's hard. Pray about it, though. You seek Jesus, he makes it better. But we need to be building each other up as disciples of Christ. Because, man, listen, don't you want the people out there to look at us and say, man, I want that. I want to be a part of that church. I want to be, man, they got something good. That's what we should be striving towards. The wellness of the church, man. And I'm telling you, when you live the life worthy of your calling, man, how much beautiful in your heart things will be. Like I said, that doesn't guarantee things will be great, you know, because the world's crazy. But I'm saying that in here, the peace of God, that the Prince of Peace gives, which surpasses all understanding. Even in the darkest of times, when you have that peace and joy, it is the sweetest thing in the world.